You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
3, 2, 1. We're visiting with David Satter, a longtime correspondent and extraordinarily both perspicacious and courageous observer of the Soviet Union, now doing business as Russia primarily. David, you're telling a story, and I must say that, the component parts of what went into these attacks on these apartment buildings reads like a spy thriller. So I guess it shouldn't be a surprise that Putin and the former KGB, the FSB, seem to have been up to their keister in it. Tell us the story, if you would, about what went down with these apartment buildings.
Well, the war began in Chechnya, and Putin's popularity soared. He said that he was going to destroy the terrorists wherever they could be found. If they were going to be found in the airports, he would destroy them there. If they were found in the toilets, he would destroy them there. And this tough talk, which included the use of a lot of Russian prison jargon, energized the Russian people and rallied them around Putin. The depredations of the Yeltsin period were forgotten, and the aggressivity of the population was transferred. It was switched from hostility toward the oligarchs who had pillaged the country to hostility against the Chechens who had bombed innocent Russian people as they slept, which is exactly what the Yeltsin regime wanted to happen. Putin's popularity soared. He was elected president of Russia, and his first official act was to pardon Yeltsin for all crimes committed while president of Russia, and to announce that the results of privatization would not be revised. And everything would have been fine, except that the FSB made one mistake. They were caught placing a bomb in a fifth building, a building in Ryazan. Watchful residents noticed suspicious activity. They called the local police. The local police went into the basement, found a bomb with a military detonator and a timer. They called the sappers. They tested the bomb. It was tested positive for hexagon.
David Satter is our guest, and you've kind of now given us a bit of a introduction to a flashback, David. This evident effort to attack a fifth apartment building in a suburb of Moscow called into question, of course, what happened in the previous four episodes. So again, tell us that part of the story.
Well, this is the most important part, because an alert was sounded. The whole city of Ryazan was cordoned off, and the persons who had planted the bomb were caught. And they turned out not to be Chechen terrorists, but rather agents of the FSB. And under these circumstances, the authorities had to say something. And they made an announcement that the bomb that had been put in the basement of a building in Ryazan was a fake, that it had been put there deliberately by the FSB to test the residents for vigilance. This was at a time when law enforcement in Russia was being inundated with hundreds of false calls a day of supposed bomb sightings, and that the residents of Ryazan had passed this test brilliantly, and they were congratulated by the FSB for their vigilance. In fact, I went to Ryazan, and the entire city was convinced, including the police, that this was no test, that this was a genuine attempt to bomb the building. And had they done so, the building had 400 residents, and it was at the top of a hill. Had it been bombed as successfully as the other buildings were bombed, the debris would have hit the neighboring building, which was located further down the hill, with the force of an avalanche, and would have taken that one as well. So the death toll would have been something like 800. But the failure of that test, of that, I shouldn't say test, of that attempt to bomb the building in Ryazan did not stop the unfolding of the Second Chechen War. In fact, the day afterward, the city of Grozny began to be bombed as if it had been intended that way as a response to a bombing that the authorities thoroughly expected would take place.
Yeah. Now, David, this raises another issue that you describe in your article in the National Review back in August of this year. You describe how the Speaker of the Duma made reference to an attack that hadn't yet happened, as though it had happened. Talk a little bit about that, and again, how it sheds further light on the orchestration of these attacks by Putin and his immediate entourage.
This was another. There were a series of bombings. First, there was a bombing in the city of Buynaksk in Dagestan. Then there were bombings in Moscow, two bombings, one on Guryanova Street, the other on Kashirskaya Chasse. And the bombing on Kashirskaya Chasse took place on the 13th of September, 1999. And a note was passed to the Speaker of the Duma. And he got up and said, there's been a terrorist attack in Volgodonsk. And in fact, there had been no terrorist attack in Volgodonsk. But 3 days later, a building in Volgodonsk was blown up. This raised the question of how the Speaker of the Duma, Gennady Seleznyov, was aware that a building in Volgodonsk, a rather, typical Russian provincial city, was going to be blown up 3 days before it happened. And the obvious explanation is that he confused the two bombings.
But that he had foreknowledge of is the point. And as a man close to Putin himself, this suggests that he was told by the authorities that this was coming, right?
There's no other way. It would be, no one could have predicted that a building was going to be blown up in, of all places, the city of Volgodonsk in South Russia, 3 days before it happened. But there's more. There's more of fantastic evidence as well. After the building was blown up in Moscow, the first one on Guryanova Street, the superintendent of that building provided a description of the person who rented the basement where the bomb was placed, and it began to circulate. Then the FSB showed up.
It began to circulate as an artist rendering of that description.
Rendering of the suspect, and showed him a picture of a completely different person, and threatened him into saying that this was the person he had seen, and this was the person who had rented the basement. And then they removed the original sketch and provided a sketch of the preferred suspect, and destroyed all of the originals. Well, the original sketch was somehow published in time by one small publication, and Mikhail Trepashkin, an investigator for two women who lost their mother in the bombing, found the original sketch.
Okay, hold that thought. We have to come back for more with David Satter right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.